Too often, we keep our life so tightly gripped between our own fingers, afraid that it will all fall apart if we don't. And it's just not true. Welcome to session 6 of Arise and Shine's devotional. Today, we're talking about faith. Faith is an action. You know, sometimes I think we're sitting around waiting on God when actually God is waiting on us. You know, when God leads us into something, we aren't supposed to wait for God to write up a project plan that includes a step-by-step process that like leads to its completion. That's not how it works. God doesn't usually give us what we need before we give him our yes and take that first step. You know, when I left my job to write this book, I had no idea what I was going to write. I had no topic, no outline, and really no idea what I was doing. I'm going to come back to that. But first, let's go to Ephesians 6, verse 16. Here we are told to take up the shield of faith. This indicates an action on our behalf. All the other armor we are told to put on. But here we are told to take up faith. Why? Because when we step out and move forward, our enemy will start throwing arrows our way. Arrows can be false evidence, lies, people, offenses, distractions, and Satan just trying to wreak havoc. Let me give you an example. In 2014, God called our family to move out to California so I could attend ministry school. Well, before we moved, we found out that our house wasn't going to close in time before we had to leave, and we wouldn't be able to take our equity with us. So we had to leave with our family of five with $1,080 in our bank account. I'll never forget that number. But you guys, and also 2 days before we left, our septic tank backed up and our basement was like full of yuck. And so this obviously had the potential of pushing back our closing even more and costing us a whole lot of money. We had to hold up our shields and forcefully advance forward as those arrows struck our shields. You guys want to know what happened? In the middle of an argument with my husband, with all this going on, my husband and I knew we had to pray. We grabbed each other's hands and told the devil to get out of our septic tank, literally. And I kid you not, my husband and his dad had been working on that thing all afternoon. Justin went back out there with his dad after we prayed, and he stuck the same stick down there that he'd been doing all day. The very moment he did, all the yuck got sucked down and it was completely resolved. Faith can move mountains, but it's not until we take up our shield and move forward. I want to tell you a story. It's not my story. I stole it from a movie. I'm actually going to read you an excerpt from chapter 6 of my book. It is a story about what's actually from the movie Crash. And there's a little girl that captures our hearts towards the beginning. Her name is Elizabeth. And her family is introduced into the movie when her father came home from work and went into her room to say goodnight. He found her under the bed with her pillow and blanket where she'd intended to stay all night. When her dad asked her why she was hiding under the bed, she explained that she thought she heard a gunshot. Elizabeth and her family had a traumatic experience when bullets came through Elizabeth's bedroom window in their previous neighborhood that they had just moved from. Her father began to tell her a story about a fairy who had given him an invisible cloak when he was 5 years old. He said the cloak was impenetrable, that nothing could hurt him. He told her that he'd forgotten to give it to her on her 5th birthday and asked her if she wanted it. As he helped her out from under the bed, he sat her up and began to pretend to untie the cloak from his neck and drape it behind her. Then he fastened it around her neck. Then she confidently laid down as her dad tucked her in and she peacefully went to sleep. Later in the movie, Elizabeth saw her dad pull into the driveway from work. A man who had accusations against her father had been watching his house waiting for him to get home. Before Elizabeth made it out the door to greet her dad, the man walked toward him and pointed a gun at his face. Elizabeth witnessed this happen through the glass door. When her dad saw her, he yelled at her to stay inside. As Elizabeth's mother began to approach the door from inside, Elizabeth yelled to her, "He doesn't have it. I have it. He doesn't have the impenetrable cloak. Before her mother could stop her, she ran out into the driveway and jumped into her father's arms. At the same moment, the gun went off. Elizabeth's father screamed in agony as he held his daughter close to his chest. Elizabeth's mother fell to her knees in overwhelming shock and grief. But then Elizabeth whispered in her father's ear, "It's okay, Daddy." After she spoke, her dad held her back from his chest as he looked at her face and then examined her body. There was no mark on her. As the shooter stood in awe, they left him and began to walk inside, Elizabeth still in her father's arms. As they walked through the door, Elizabeth said to her dad, "It's a really good cloak." Guys, I'm glad I didn't turn the movie off after that. I almost did. I almost did after she got shot. I'm known to turn off movies, but I yelled like, "Are you kidding me?" But you guys, I did pause it after this scene. It had been 2 weeks since God told me to leave my job. It was January of 2023. I was homeschooling my kids, working a full-time job, and I had just enrolled in a writing school. I planned on doing all three. The Lord knew better, but I was obedient to the Lord's leading through a dream to leave my job. I'm going to tell you the dream. It's actually a pretty simple dream. My boss was sitting in the passenger seat of my car. He was leaning over in front of me while I was driving, just like flailing his arms and yelling obnoxiously right in front of me. And I kept pushing him out of my way, like back to his passenger seat, telling him to stop because I couldn't see where I was going. The dream seemed clear to me. My job was in the way of where I was headed. But it was a big deal to leave my job because I actually liked my job and we needed the income. So I asked the Lord. I said, "Lord, you got to tell me again," because I wanted to be sure-footed. I did not want to be faced with doubt if things got tight. So within a week, my husband had been reading in the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus was sending out his disciples to minister. And as he was reading, I walked into the room and he asked me, he said, "What do you think Jesus meant when he said, don't stop to greet anyone on the road?" When he asked me that, something quickened in my spirit. We didn't talk too much about it, but that afternoon, I got alone with the Lord and I looked up that passage myself. This is what it says. It's Luke 10, 2 through 4. Jesus said, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Now go and remember that I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag, nor an extra pair of sandals. And don't stop to greet anyone on the road." Jesus told his disciples to not greet anyone on the road because he had sent them on a mission and he did not want them to waste time or be sidetracked. My job was doing just that. This word from the Lord confirmed that God had told me to leave my job, but it also gave me a promise. He told me not to worry about our needs. He said no money bag, no traveler's bag, no extra pair of sandals. In other words, he was going to provide and I was not to worry about it or prepare. And guys, when I watched this movie, it gave me a beautiful picture of childlike faith. And he was asking me to have the same. You guys, it wasn't about fairies and magical cloaks. It was the power of childlike faith. Not for a moment did Elizabeth pause and question the power of her cloak. Her father told her it would make her invincible. Of course it was true. The faith she had in what her father told her gave her the courage to run toward her greatest fear, the very thing she'd been hiding from under the bed. Too often in our childhood, we learn to not trust others, whether it's broken promises, lies, rejection, abandonment, abuse. And in our humanness, we associate those painful experiences to other relationships, including God's, especially if that pain came from our earthly father. But our heavenly father is so, so very worthy of our trust. And if we are not seeing the faithfulness of God in our lives, it could be because we just need to loosen control and give him a chance. Too often, we keep our life so tightly gripped between our own fingers, afraid that it will all fall apart if we don't. And it's just not true. Maybe you need to raise your shield as you drive to the store with your daughter to buy her the winter coat that she needs, trusting that the Lord is going to make a way for the next financial need. Maybe you need to take up your shield as you go to another marriage counseling session, trusting that the Lord can bring restoration. Guys, it's not just the big leaps of faith that engage our shield. Our shield should have daily evidence of war against it. Guys, that is it for today. In session 7, we are going to talk about the helmet of salvation, what it has to do with our thought life, and answer some questions like, does Satan know our thoughts? How do we change our thoughts? And how do I live with peace of mind instead of worry and anxiety? Guys, thanks for being here. If you do not have my book yet, it's on sale, 30% off on my website through the end of April. You can get your signed copy there. Also, if you'd like to invite me to speak at your church event or women's group, you can put a request in on my website at jamieandthompson.com. Guys, thanks for being here. If this message taught you something, blessed you, ministered to you, please help me get it out by sharing it with others. You can also like and subscribe to help me spread the word.